Americans. It's time to grab your kids and gather around the internet for your weekly injection of truth. Prepare to have your world rocked with Steve Duplantis and rock the world!
Where's the power? How come we don't see the power like we do in the book of Acts, where shadows would walk past people, the apostles would walk past people, shadows would heal them, where they touch cloths and people would get healed, people get raised from the dead. Why don't we see this? Why don't we see it today? And I have a theory on that, and whether or not it's true, and I've been working on it because it's you know, sometimes it's just that God doesn't want something. It's not in the big plan for him. But there's something missing in the church today that was present in the early day. And we can't deny that. I go into churches and, you know, a big production. You got this, you got the countdown going and the music staying. It's like you're getting all riled up. We're getting ready to start church, and then the music starts in, and it's an emotional, almost an emotional buildup or something like that. So my question is, where's the power? Where's my guy up here, man? Where's the power at? I don't know where it went. And it's still God's still God. He's still on the throne. Okay? He never left the throne. He's still there. It's not God that's changed. Something's changed within us, okay, from that time. Okay, I'm going to use a text, Deuteronomy 18 and 9, okay? When you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord, for these nations which you will dispossess listen to soothsayers and diviners, but as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed you such for you. Okay, there's something we got to realize, that God has a pattern that he wants when he's worshipped. He has a pattern. So he is making it clear here. He doesn't want you to be fooling around with any of this stuff, with none of it. So he set this up early on by telling the Israelites not to pick up on the ways and customs of the people of the land they were about to possess. Why? Because a little yeast works into the entire batch. Okay? So this is a little illustration. This is a nice, clear, it hasn't been opened before, water. All right? And I'm going to pour a little bit because my throat's a little dry. All right. Do you want some water? What?
Here I
can. I know you probably drink it anyway. But the point is, look at the floaties in there. See, because you got Jesus, you know that. So, and it's all, I mean, it's all, look, it's got spit in it, it's got nasty stuff in it, okay? So, I'll drink that, okay? But you guys, would you drink that? I mean, really? You don't know where my mouth has been, okay? You don't have nothing to do with it. I've seen some people put dirt in it. You see, but the dirt you can see, but you really can't see the saliva, can you? Nope. You can't see the saliva. But I guarantee you, the germs are in there. If I had a cold or something going, they'd be in there. And if you drank it, you'd catch it. Okay? So God is telling the people, when you go into this land to possess it, do not take upon the customs of these people, okay? Even though you may not see right on what's going on, don't take it. Don't take what they have to drink. Don't drink the Kool-Aid, basically, all right? So, you know, soothsayers, do we know what a soothsayer is? Soothsayers is somebody who is a fortune teller, You know? And we see that in churches today. We see people who give you prophetic vision, and God's going to do this, and God's going to do that. We see this seeped into the church. Okay? Some of it is good, yes. But a lot of it's not. So we have to be careful on what we pick up on. Okay? Joshua 7 and 10. So the Lord said, this is after he finds out that Achan has stolen some stuff as they went in to take over the land. He took some stuff. Achan had taken some stuff that he had coveted. All right. So Joshua was basically repenting for him. He said, "Get up! Why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. For they have even taken some of the accursed things and have both stolen and deceived. They have also put it among their own stuff." Okay, now think about that. They took stuff and put it among their own stuff. Okay, so take that into the church. So we have a church culture, stuff that we do, but we have allowed things of the world to come in and corrupt our church culture. Can I get an amen to that? Have we not seen that with the styles of music? The dress, if you go into a church and see the lights, everything is just like all spectacular. It's like a concert. We were watching, I think it was a Christian concert. It was the Passion Conference, I think it was. And it was like watching a concert. The only thing I was waiting for somebody to light up some weed, start smoking it, because that was the atmosphere that it had. It was just like the world. But the message was good, but you're still copying what the world is doing. Okay, so this is what he's talking about. He said, they have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own stuff. They have made it part of their own culture. They made it the same thing. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turn their backs before their enemies, because they have become doomed to destruction. So because he's done this, because the Israelites have done this, they've become doomed to destruction. God's saying, I told you. Don't follow the ways. Don't pick up the ways and the customs of these people. But now that you have, you are doomed to destruction. It's just like when the serpent tempted Eve, and then Adam was and he ate the apple or whatever it was, the fruit it was. They were doomed. They were doomed at that point. Israel, the same thing. He's telling them. He gave them Deuteronomy 18. He tells them, this is what you're not to do. Don't take up these customs. But you did, okay? So what is the result if you did, okay? Neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed from among you. Neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed from among you. So God was specific. He wanted them to go in and not take any plunder. He wanted them to go in and get rid of everything, because when Israel came out of Egypt, it took 40 years for God to clear out Egypt out of the Israelites. The culture, the stuff that they did. All right? Because even as they went into, they moaned the whole time, we could be back in Egypt eating this and doing this, but we're out here eating manna and quail, living in tents, but we could be back in our nice houses and all this other stuff. God was doing a cleansing. He had to get rid of an entire generation. And even then, it still seeped into the next generation. As we see here, it happened with Achan, and it came in. So God was specific. Do not take on the customs. But they did, okay? He said, get up and sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, because thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed things from among you. So they weren't going to win any more fights or anything, take over any more land until they got rid of this stuff. In the morning thereafter, you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that tribe which the Lord takes from some shall come according to families, and the family which the Lord takes shall come to households, and the household which the Lord takes shall come man by man. So he was going to narrow it down to the person, the very person, all right, and then the household. Then it shall be that who is taken with the accursed thing shall be burned with fire, and he and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has done a disgraceful thing in Israel. So basically, he has, just like one man brought sin into the world, one man brought sin into the camp of Israel. Okay? So he was to be burned for it. And then, I'm not going to go into all that stuff, but they actually They narrow him down and they stone him. They stone his family. They kill him. You're done. Okay? But it didn't stop from what happened, because the domino effect, the yeast had already been put into the batch. The saliva had already been added into the water as they're drinking it. Okay? Because as we go next, we go into Joshua in 9, where he says, the men of Israel took some of the provisions, but they did not ask counsel of the Lord. They were going into the Gibeonites, the land of Gibeon, and they were going to take over. But the Gibeonites went to Joshua and basically said, we're on your side, we're your servants. And it's not, they were deceiving them again. So Joshua went against the Lord and didn't destroy all the people and all the things. So he made a covenant with these people, and he wasn't going to go back on his word. So therefore, the yeast, the saliva, had already been spread through. Israel was doomed to destruction from that point. Okay? When they did that. So, not saying that, God, because the Bible says it all in Romans, that all of Israel shall be saved. Okay? So God has a plan. But here's the thing he put into place. If you don't do these things, you will be all right. You'll be blessed. If you do take in these customs, something's going to be wrong. Something's going wrong. So at this point, sin had already crept into the camp, never to be rid of again. Never. We still see it in Israel today. Even though Israel has been brought back to his own land and has their own country now, there's still sin. You can still see it going on, okay? We wonder and then we sit and wonder why the church has no power. So if we use this as an example, okay, here's Israel, and of course the church is supposedly spiritual Israel, let's say. It's not, but it is. Okay, we've been grafted in. But this may have been written about Israel, but we can use the principle here. Okay, here's the principle. When sin enters the camp, there's no power. Because God turns his back on sin. He does not like sin. So if there's sin, something's wrong. So do you see where I'm getting at, or where my theory is going to? The theory is that it's not, I believe it's compromise in the church, and that can be construed as sin. We have compromise here. You know, we see sporadic instances of miracles, and we were talking, Nancy and I were talking about Africa is seeing a huge, you know, movement of God going on in Africa, okay? Because people are not, they don't have all of the baggage that we have in the American church, you know? Because I was reading an article, okay, in Charisma magazines. Anybody read Charisma? Charisma is the they got some good stuff in there. But I don't know if it was online or it was actually in the book or whatever. I mean, in the magazine. The lady was speaking about her daughter who went to college somewhere and started going to a church that wasn't a Pentecostal, tongue-speaking, spirit-filled church. It was a Baptist church or what. But her daughter's going to this church and said that she was persecuted by the leaders of the church. And I have to question that word, persecuted. Because we've seen videos from Voices of the Martyrs, and there's actually a Christian pastor, I believe he's in jail in Iran right now. Okay? That's persecution. For somebody making fun of you for speaking in tongues is not persecution. You know, my bet would be that when persecution does come, 80% or more of the church will go hide and run with their tail between their legs, because they're not going to know how to handle it. Because they're in compromise. Okay, we're in compromise. The church is in compromise. I'm not saying I'm all there, but I'm striving towards that. That I want to be able to stand here in the pulpit, and that if somebody walks in here and says to quit preaching the gospel of the Lord, I will pick up the Bible and say no. And if I get a bullet through the head, then praise God. You know, I'm not gonna. This is what I'm working for, because this is where we're going, y'all. That's persecution. You know, just somebody making fun of it. He's speaking tongues. We don't do that here. You know, that's weird. That's the devil or something. That's not persecution, guys. And I read that, and I'm like, come on. You know, this is the type of stuff that's going. There's stuff happening in the world where God's moving. We know that for a fact. And I'd love to go. I want to take a trip to Africa. I want to see what's going on over there. I want to be a part of that. But we might see it here in Alaska because we're kind of detached from the lower 48, you know, kind of. And there's things that go on down there that just wouldn't normally happen anywhere else, you know, because of the fact that we're so selfish. We like to do things to excess. You know, we like big trucks. We like Humvees. We like Supersize Me. We like, you know, big bags of chips. You know, we like everything big, 5-bedroom houses. You know, we do. I mean, this is America. When we lived in Spain, we were amazed to see we lived in a 3-bedroom house with just us, and next door, it was the same house, same design and everything. Guy had probably 12 or more of his family members living in this one house. That's just how they do things. It's not, you know, it's big, but a bunch of people living there. You don't have like 2 people living in a freaking mansion, you know. And that's not only excess in the world, but we see that excess within the church culture also. We see it. Nick and I were in New Orleans, and we went past a famous pastor's house. And his house is right on, there's a road called River Road, and it's right, the Mississippi River's right here, there's the levee, there's the road, and there's his house. It looks like a plantation. Gates around it, you know, landscapers in there doing stuff, and beautiful. Excess, okay, it's excess. That's why we're seeing a movement of God in Africa, is because these people have nothing. All they have is God. Do we really have, is that all we have? No, well, I got my car. I'm okay. Well, I got this too. I got God, and I got my car, and I got my house. And I got my job, and I got my retirement pay, and I got this, and I got that. And God actually starts getting pushed down to the bottom. And when we really get called to where we're relying on God. We've been there before. I don't know if anybody, I'm sure people have been there, where there's nothing there but God. And God takes you and he pulls you to a different level, you know. So the point is that we have let something seep in that's making us sick. Okay? Something has seeped into the church that's making us sick, and it has no power. We have no power here. And and I have a theory that this is what it is. And let me see. I'm going to kind of, before I get into what I see in the church, is what I see in the world, okay, and how the world first basically does things and how we've accepted things into the church from the world. I want to start with bring up the first number one picture. This is a logo from has anybody heard of Procter & Gamble? Yep. Okay, Procter & Gamble owned probably almost everything you buy is made by Procter & Gamble. And this is it has demonic influence to it. Okay, you can look at it. It looks like just almost looks like a coin or something. But all these things, you know, inverted 666 as a horn appears, this stuff to here. The next one, I think, is it the monster drink? Go to that one. No, Walt Disney, here's one right here, which is kind of crazy looking, and I find of interest, the 6 and the 6 and the 6. Do we really notice these things? I noticed that when I was watching Disney movies, all right, cartoons for kids, okay? And you guys can look it for yourself, all right? Monsters, Inc., the first movie, okay? Has anybody ever seen it, Monsters, Inc.? Well, there's a part in the movie where the little girl gets loose in a locker room, all right? And she's running around, and the big blue guy's trying to chase her.
And then all of a sudden, she comes up to him, and she's got this look on her face like this, and she's looking up. And he's like, asking, do you have to go potty? Okay? And the camera like pans back to her, and right when he says potty, she says, do you have to go? And at the same time, she mouths the S word for poo, the S word. And it's blatant. I'm not kidding. You could ask my kids. I had to rewind it several times. Look what she's saying. You can't hear it, but you can plainly see her mouth is mouthing it. Okay? And this is for kids. Okay? You have The Lion King, where Simba and Nala are playing around in the water, and some cloud of dust goes up, and as it goes up, you have to stop it at the frame. It's got the word sex in it. Okay? Hercules is filled with, need I say, the movie itself. But this is stuff that's geared towards kids. And that as we accept into the church, because it's Walt Disney, it's Disney World. We go have, this is Walt Disney. But this isn't his actual signature. They've finagled it, and look how it looks now. And when I saw this, I was like, that's crazy. And you may say, well, that's a stretch. Is it really, though? Because subliminal stuff is there. Music. Oh, my gosh, the Beatles were doing subliminal stuff back in the day. Led Zeppelin, all these stuff that these guys I used to love, man, all gave their selves over to the demonic. And show the next one, the monster one. This one freaked me out when I saw it. This, if you see right here, the Hebrew, the Vav, this is the Hebrew alphabet. Its numerical value is 6. You see, each number, or each letter has a numerical value. See? Well, the Vav is 6. And what is this? And we don't even see this. You see what the devil knows, that God spoke his word through the Hebrews, the Israelites, through this language. Okay? It's almost as bad as the alcohol. You know, but the more we get close, the more blatant the enemy's going to get, the more he's going to not care, because he knows he's in the last days. He knows his time is limited. So he don't care anymore. He's going to be blatant about what he does. And we're seeing it in movies. We're seeing it on television. We're seeing it within the musical industry. We're seeing all this stuff starting to come about. And we're accepting it as part of the church. Okay? We're accepting all this stuff. What is the next one, the mermaid-looking thing? Because we're going to go into here. This is it's actually called a siren. Okay? It's from mythology. It goes back to the Norse, all this, also called a muse. It's a deity, basically, and was worshipped, okay? And the muse actually helps actors, at least back in the day, a muse would help actors and actresses with their acting part. They would pray the muse would come in and help them act and do their parts, right? So it's demonic stuff. It's all demonic stuff. Well, if we all know, he had the first logo is actually, it's the Starbucks logo, okay? Here's the original Starbucks logo. Same thing, okay? And now this is where, this is where it's come. Now, I don't know how many in here drink Starbucks? Do you want to raise your hand? I stopped buying that stuff a long time ago when they started supporting gay marriage and stuff. But I didn't know anything about this until recently. Okay, now I want to read from the Starbucks website. All right. Let's go all the way back to 1971 when Starbucks was first coming to be. In a search for a way to capture the seafaring history of coffee in Seattle, strong seaport roots, there was a lot of poring over old marine books going on. Suddenly, there she was, a 16th century Norse woodcut of a twin-tailed mermaid, or a siren. There was something about her, seductive mystery,
mixed with a nautical theme that was exactly what the founders were looking for. A logo was designed around her, and our long relationship with the siren began. Over the last 40 years, we've made some changes to that identity. Now we're doing that again to keep ourselves relevant as we evolve without ever losing sight of our heritage. But the siren has always been there. She is at the heart of Starbucks. Okay, now think about this. This is, you're actually getting the history. And this is the demonic symbol as at the heart of Starbucks. As a writer, though, I can tell you that there's a lot more to her than just the design, how she looks. This is what she means to me and to us. She's a storyteller, carrier of the lore of Starbucks ahead, and remembering our past. In a lot of ways, she's a muse. A muse, I just said it, M-U-S-E. Always there, inspiring us to push us ahead. And she's a promise, too, inviting all of us to find what we're looking for, even if it's something we haven't even imagined yet. She means something different to everyone who sees her, who knows her. For she's kind of the final say on the spirit of everything I write and everything we do. Even as I'm writing this, I wonder what she thinks. She likes it, by the way. Here we are today. Our new evolution liberates the siren from her outer ring, making her the true welcoming face of Starbucks. For people all over the globe, she's a signal of the world's finest coffee and much more. She stands abound, sharing our stories, inviting us all in to explore and to find something new and to connect with each other. And as always, she is urging all of us forward to the next thing. After all, who can resist her? Not me. This is like the biggest coffee chain or whatever, probably in the world. And we don't even, as Christians, this is my point, y'all. As Christians, we don't even bother looking at the background of this. It's plainly telling you that it's demonic. It's plainly telling you. And what does God say, what I just said in the beginning? Okay? When you come into the land which the Lord God has given you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. But yet we've picked it up. And we've allowed it. There was a church we went to in Florida that sold Starbucks coffee. So, I like Kaladis. I don't know how much more. I haven't looked into Kaladis. Kaladis is just as demonic, probably. They have the red goat. At least they're communists, I think, is what they are. They do have good coffee. It's way better than that stuff. But my point is that we have allowed things to come in. Not bothering about what God has said. We've allowed the abominations of the nations to come in to the church, and we wonder why we don't see any power. And we wonder why we don't see any power. We're going to have to. This has got to be a two-part thing because I can't go into the. I don't have the time to go into what the church, what I see the church doing and what's happening within the church. But I can tell you this much: it has infiltrated. It has infiltrated the church, and we are now in a. How are you guys doing? And we're now in a point where we have to make a stand. We're going to have to call it for what it is, because if we don't, we're going to follow the way of the heathen, and we're not going to be any different from the world. And I see it. I see it so in so many churches, even amongst the assemblies. There's a lot of assemblies, churches, pastors that I know. I'm going to go back on the drinking thing, you know. How many of them allow it and say it's okay? Well, it's all right, you know, as long as you don't bring it in the church. Okay? There was an article that I read this morning. I think it was last night. Was it Demita? I forget where it was. A judge had ruled that a caterer, by law, now has to cater a gay couple if they want to get married. Because it would be discrimination otherwise. Regardless of what your religious belief says, it's against the law. That dude, that's the next step. Because that's all they need. I thought there was separation of church and state. Not anymore. The state is telling you how you need to believe now. And this is seeping in. It's seeping in. And as we go, I can guarantee you, as we see it, the drinking aspect of it is just the drop in the bucket with the assemblies. If we don't put it, if we don't call it for what it is, and stand behind me on this, guys, because I'm really thinking about contacting the district on it, because there's a lot of ministers that believe this way. Okay? And our stance on alcohol with the Assemblies of God, read the position paper. Total abstinence, nothing to do with it at all, as far as leaders go. Now, as far as church members, that's up to you. I know what I'm going to preach in the pulpit, okay, and the standard that I need to hold by. So as a minister, I'm talking about. I'm not talking about members. I'm talking about ministers and leaders. It needs to be addressed, because if the leaders and the ministers allow themselves to do this stuff, the next step is the gay marriage. Then before you know it, the assemblies is going to be all right with that. Yeah, it's okay. It's a good thing. I'm hoping no. I'm praying again. But like I'm saying, it's got the little stuff has to stop. You let a little saliva in. There's the germs are in it. Okay, we cannot allow it. We cannot allow it. All right. And as next week, I'll get into it, how it's already seeping in. It's already into the church. And we have to find a way to get the accursed stuff out. Like God said, we have to get it out. For this house, the accursed stuff is out. We will not have it here. We will not tolerate it. Because we want God to move here.
Amen.
Thank you. Can I get another amen? Do we want God to move in this church?
No more coffee for Nancy.
No more coffee, Ed.
No more Starbucks.
No more. Well, I don't know about that. Starbucks. Just look at it. There's other Procter & Gamble stuff. Like I said, there's other things. I was reading something about McDonald's. The Golden Arches has something to do with, and that's worth more research. You know, I'm not too certain on that one yet, but I want to do some more before I, you know, go into the depth on that. But but just to be aware, I you know, if you can make it next week, please, because I'm going to go on a part two of this and show how how it's already infiltrated and what we can do to get it out. To get the church, I mean, to get the accursed things out and to call it. We have to call it. We have to. We may be called judgmental or haters or whatever it is, but no, we have to call it for what it is. Because if it doesn't line up with this, there's no place for it. There's no place for it in this house. All right. Well, thank you, God. God, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for your revelation, God, that the things that you're revealing to us, God, to get us closer to you. God, that we don't seek your miracles or your signs and wonders, God. We seek you. God, we want you, Lord. If those things follow us, God, as a result of us getting closer to you, then we praise you for it, God. But that's not what we're looking for, God. We're looking for the power of your Holy Spirit to bring people to you, God. To bring them to a saving knowledge, God, of conviction, to repentance, Lord. That your Son died for us so that we can have relationship with you. He did not die so we could have a beer. Or that we can participate in ungodly practices like Mardi Gras or something like that, Lord. That's not what the blood of Jesus was shed for. It was shed for our salvation, for our redemption. Not the redemption of a day, not the redemption of a song, not the redemption of a flower or an image. God, forgive us for following the ways, of the pagan, Lord. And God, to pick up on the customs of the devil worshippers, Lord. Thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord. And I pray that you search us this next week, God, to reveal anything that might be hindering our relationship with you. And your Holy Spirit to shine the light on that and to reveal that to us. God, because my goal is to get closer to you, Lord, and then in turn, to get others closer to you. We thank you, God. We love you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May his face shine upon you. May he turn his countenance upon you. May he be gracious unto you. May he grant you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.